You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Last week, you announced Te Pae Tata, the interim New Zealand health plan for the next 2 years. Could you please outline what the plan entails?
Yeah, there's a number of things to it. There's about 120 different actions or tasks to be taken. It's called the interim plan because it's just for 2 years. The future that we've set up is that the funding cycle for health will follow a three-year pattern. So at the beginning of each parliamentary term, the government of the day will approve a three-year budget for health. And so future plans will have a three-year time frame. But this one, it's really about starting a whole lot of stuff that we know desperately needs to be done, including as a priority the workforce issues. So continuing with the stuff we've done on recruiting more people to fill the vacancies at the moment, but just as importantly, laying the foundation for the long-term future pipeline of health workers. So working with the tertiary sector who train medical graduates and nursing students and what have you. So we're building our own, and also working out pathways for entry to health work. We know a lot of people who don't go from school into tertiary education, but you know, do work in the health system and have aspirations to want to go into clinical roles and more qualified roles, and finding pathways for them to do that. And then there's the, I think, addressing some of the specific issues, obviously health inequities for Māori and Pacific, but also looking at services for rural communities and how we improve what we do for that, you know, that part of the population. So quite a wide range of stuff. There's some health areas that are going to be given specific emphasis, so that includes maternal care and the first years of a new baby's life. Better care for cancer patients, knowing that there's a large number of them and quite diverse needs depending on the cancers that people have. And so those are two new sort of priority areas that are opening up in terms of services that we want to see improved.
So as you're saying, you're going to be moving to a three-year funding cycle. What's the benefits of this over a single-year funding cycle? Is it quite a game changer?
Yeah, it is. It gives greater certainty, and particularly, you know, we have our public hospitals and what have you, but a large part of the health dollar goes to what are effectively private organisations, a lot of community organisations, but also, you know, things like your GP practices and others. So having a three-year cycle then means that the likes of Te Whatu Ora and Te Aka Whai Ora can make longer-term decisions and enter contracts with third parties that can give greater certainty to them, so that those organisations can take on staff knowing that there's going to be some certainty from 1 year to the next. It's not going to be a year-by-year sort of thing. We know that, for example, in the vaccination campaign and with COVID, a lot of the community health organisations, they got additional funding and they staffed up to do some amazing work, but a lot of those funding agreements sort of come to an end soon, and it's kind of what next, because they've got a whole bunch of people who've done great stuff, keen to work or continue to work in the health sector and continue to do work for which there is a need at the moment, and so changing that funding cycle just gives greater certainty for organisations like that.
You've said in the past that a lot of the issues faced by the health sector today are carryovers from the last national government. Dr. Shane Reti said he was sick of excuses, and after 5 years of Labour, the current government was at fault. At what point after the new government comes in is the old government no longer responsible for the health system, do you think?
I think two things. First of all, the government of the day is always responsible for what happens and the decisions that they take. So we've made a lot of decisions, a lot of big and significant decisions. Certainly funding, we've increased health funding by nearly 45% in the 5 years we've been in government, and that reflects the fact that it was, you know, seriously underfunded. Part of that funding has paid for quite a few additional roles, 5,000 more nurses, a lot more specialists in our health system, and we've also increased funding for infrastructure, so new buildings and new facilities. So we have a $7 billion building program across our hospital network at the moment. That compares with about $1.2 billion spent by the previous government over their 9 years. The second point I'd make is that actually the decisions in health that you take today, the impact is really felt in, you know, the 5 to 10 years that follow. And that's what we're effectively responding to now is a series of decisions that go back, you know, 10 to 15 years. And in fairness too, they go back further than that. You probably go back 30 years. I know some of the commentators say that this has been a kind of a systemic under-resourcing spanning a large number of years. That's actually what we're dealing with. And I think, you know, we'll do everything we can. But knowing that when we make decisions, investment decisions, or even some of the big policy decisions, I mean, the big reforms that we're making of taking the 20 DHBs out, putting in Te Whatu Ora, Health New Zealand in, and Te Aka Whai Ora, the Māori Health Authority, they are working now on building the structures and processes and stuff to get better decision-making to better support patients. But that's going to take a while for that to bed in and become business as usual. So that takes some time to do that. I think it's just about acknowledging that in a system as large and as complex as the health system, decisions taken today affect you know, what happens, you know, 5 to 10 years later. And so if you make the wrong decisions on the wrong course, it's 5 to 10 years later that you're either going to get the benefits or you're going to get the challenges that poses, and that's what we're dealing with at the moment.
Last week you were also at the University of Waikato announcing the start of the Enhanced Mental Health and Addiction Services on campus, the last of the country's 8 universities to roll out the expansion. What kind of support can students get in the student wellbeing package?
Yeah, actually, I did that yesterday. So what they can expect is more, you know, basically more people available to provide the type of support that students need. So at Waikato, the extra funding they've got, they are spending on 4 additional positions they've got. One's an additional mental health counsellor. Another is a social worker, so for people who, you know, need to be plugged into other social agencies. Another is an alcohol and drugs counsellor. We know that that's a serious problem for a number of students on campuses right around the country. And the other is a violence prevention coordinator. So understanding that you know, students are as much victims of violence, and the sort of violence they're talking about is not necessarily, you know, the aggressive physical stuff. It's the, you know, failure to understand what consent means when it comes to sexual relations, and failure to understand how to, you know, conduct yourself in healthy personal relationships. So all of those things will make a big difference. And talking to some of the student reps and the students who were there yesterday, you know, they were very appreciative of that and telling me, you know, the argument that they put up for why these positions are needed, and the difference that they will make. So, yeah, that's encouraging. So now, what that means now is that with Waikato having got those roles on board, and all other universities and polytechs now have got additional resourcing and support. I think the other thing we're expecting is that, you know, the generation of young people who have gone through COVID, their school years through COVID, and there's still going to be ongoing challenges as people adapt to and change and kind of respond to the way they've been affected by COVID. And having that additional support in our tertiary institutions for high school students who have come through that experience, I think is going to be important too.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.